Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the middle of the night, and a father has been awakened by his child with a dirty diaper. Patiently, the man goes to her crib and takes the baby to the changing table. As he carefully and lovingly cleans up the mess, this little bundle of joy cries bitterly, kicking and screaming, seemingly angry at the parent for the cold wipes and the interruption of their sleep. Whether you are a parent or not, I think we can all imagine the irony of this scene. It's an impossible situation for the parent. Leaving a child in her dirty diaper is harmful, even dangerous. So in the parent's loving care and faithfulness, the child is made clean. Even though the infant may be angry because they cannot be soothed with reason at that age. An irony of all ironies, the reality is the baby is going to do it again tomorrow night. At some point in our lives, we have all been that baby, right? Yet over time, we grew up. We all understand that what may have seemed like punishment at the time was really an act of great love. And we learned that we don't always know best. That some things that are not pleasant at the time can, through love and discipline, produce good growth and keep us from harm and danger. As hard as it may be for us to accept, this is how it is with our Heavenly Father and the mess of our sins. The stains, the smell, our frustrations and helplessness put our just and merciful Father in a nearly impossible situation. The word from Hebrews tells us, the Lord disciplines the ones He loves. We need God's discipline because our sin is making a mess of God's good and perfect creation. When we gossip, when we think ourselves and our views are more important than others, when we think worship is more about our entertainment than a discipline that forms our life of faith together under the cross, our sins, whatever they are, make a mess of what God has made and His plans for us. So how can God, who is holy and just, not punish those who are guilty with the penalty of sin, which the Bible tells us is death? But like the father on diaper duty, God is also loving and caring. Even more, He's perfect. So then how can He leave us in the mess of our sin? All sin denies and rejects God and His ultimate authority as Creator and Lord of this world and of our lives. Sin gets God's order of creation wrong every time, whether it's about man's relationship to God or man to woman, or it's a matter of life or choice, as we hear in the public square these days. Or our possessions, rich and poor. Sin is sin because it asserts that something else is God, usually self. Just go down the list of the Ten Commandments this week and see if this isn't true. Apart from God, we are selfish. And yet God has greater plans for us. He loves us. As perfectly holy as He is, God loves sinners like us. So the question is, how does God reconcile His holiness and justice with His mercy? Do you see the impossibility that our sin has wrought? God created mankind in His image, without sin. Yet our sin separates us from God and His holiness. The mess we have made must be addressed, cleaned up. And so today we focus on the discipline of the Lord as a result of sin. Our text makes it clear that God's discipline is essential to our struggle against sin. Hebrews chapter 12, our epistle reading, verses 4 and 5 says this: "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" Actually, in the King James Version, it translates that verse, it's interesting, not as a question, but as a statement. You have forgotten the exhortation. It's convicting. The exhortation is this: "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or be weary when reproved by Him." After this, by the way, if you go back and read it this week, the next six verses has the word discipline in them, highlighting the importance of God's discipline in the life of His children. If you have a hard time with discipline in your life, whether receiving it from God or from someone else, or you have trouble disciplining someone else who God has given you authority over, Hebrews 12 will help you see that discipline is essential to the practice of our Christian faith. The discipline that God lays out in His Word for us is critical to our struggle against sin. We are to be not just hearers of the Word, but doers also. And that's discipline. Of course, that's not for our salvation. But discipline gives us strength in this world, courage and peace when the struggles and messes of life, even the ones we've caused ourselves, begin to wear us down. God knows that our tiredness can lead to frustration, and frustration can lead to anger. And anger, when it takes root, like that baby on the changing table, blinds us to the good things that our Heavenly Father is doing in our lives, even in His discipline. Many in the church seem to have forgotten this exhortation, taking the discipline of God's Word lightly, especially since the pandemic, when we were all taken out of our routines, whether it's spending personal time in the Word and prayer, being in fellowship with other Christians throughout the week, volunteering to serve God's church, or taming our tongues, our words that influence our thoughts and deeds. Those thoughts, words, and deeds which we examine at the beginning of the worship service each week in the divine service when we confess our sins. This is why the discipline of worship is so critical every week, keeping the Sabbath. It's one of the commandments, yeah? Worship is like breathing for the Christian. right? Show me a Christian who does not gather in the body of Christ for worship regularly, even if only online if necessary, and I will show you a Christian who is suffocating because they are not breathing in God's word of promise. Something as simple as coming to church is an important discipline and a confession of our faith. When we make worship in God's church a priority in our lives, we are saying that we believe that God is truly here, like he promised he would be, that he is delivering his good gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, just as he promised. Where two or three are gathered in my name, well, there's more than two or three here, and we are gathered in his name. But more than just showing up, God calls us to a discipline of preparing our hearts and minds before we get here, to examine ourselves before we commune, to come with a spirit of thanksgiving and praise and a sense of anticipation that God will faithfully show up and deliver his good gifts to you every single time you come in his word and in the sacraments. You may not always feel it. You may not always see it with your eyes. But finally, worship is not about you. We need to hear that from time to time. It is about God and his grace and his love for you and for this world which he created and still takes care of. If we come to God's church with an expectation that he needs to serve me the way I want him to, we blunt his discipline. We take it lightly. If we are not careful, we may start to become like that baby on the changing table, angry at our Heavenly Father for his loving care and discipline. After all, isn't this what the Lord's discipline does? Three things that I see in this text. The Lord's discipline corrects us when we are headed in the wrong direction. Thank you, Lord. Anybody here ever been heading in the wrong direction? I have. The Lord's discipline cleans us up and forgives us when our sin has made a mess of things. And it encourages us again and again in the assurance of the gospel. And that correction and forgiveness, encouragement and confidence in our faith keeps us from growing weary. If you open your Bibles, you'll see in some translations, some versions, the title of this section is titled, Do Not Grow Weary. That's kind of the reason behind the exhortation in this part of the Scriptures. God wants us to renew our strength through him. More specifically, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to the words right before our reading today. We heard them last week at the end of the reading. It's verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. God is reminding us to look to his Son, because we forget. We do. We forget that our strength does not come from inside ourselves. Our merit is not because we're so darn good looking. Just trying to get a response here, because I know this is a heavy word. You are good looking, but that's not your merit before God. So Paul, who knew this, writes in 2 Corinthians, but he, Jesus, said to me, Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is good news for sinners like us. In our weakness and the mess of our sin, God did not cast us aside. He didn't disown us. He wanted you to be his child so much that he sent his own son, Jesus, to deal with your sin. Your heavenly Father has already cleaned up the mess of your sin. Jesus was disciplined and faithful in all the ways that we are not. As we heard last week, by his discipline, he endured the cross, despising the shame, in perfect obedience to his Father. Now he is seated at the Father's right hand, where he will come again to judge the living and the dead, as we just confessed again. And now he has become the founder of our faith. That is, Christ, our Lord, has opened the narrow gate of heaven to you and to all his children who will call on him in faith and make him Lord of their lives. This is the only way to enter the kingdom of God. By faith, we even grow to love the Lord's discipline. What did we just say in the worship service? Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Because by the Lord's discipline, we grow to trust that this is how God shows his love for us, his beloved children. And by it, we know that God is guiding us and keeping us in the one true faith that points us to our Lord, our Shepherd, our Savior, our Redeemer, our everything, who makes us clean and fit for heaven, not by the blood of Abel or by our own blood, but by the blood of his cross. And now may the peace, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.